think we have sound now. Little technical glitches like that that come up every now and then, but you know, things like that remind us to be thankful for the people back there in the sound booth that make sure everything's adjusted correctly, and we all have our part to play in the church, and something like that down back in the sound system, that's very important. And it's good to see you all out tonight, and looking forward to a time of worship together. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for how good you are to us, and we thank you for the privilege it is to gather here as a group of believers to worship you. And I even do thank you for the time this afternoon going to the nursing home, talking with those older folks and singing songs with them, and just being encouraged with some of those senior saints, how they love you and how they sing from their hearts, and what a joy it is to see just in their eyes how much they appreciate the things of God. So I just thank you for the privilege of serving you, and I pray that all of us would take advantage of those opportunities that you give to us every day to encourage one another, to pray for one another, and ultimately to give glory to your name. So even now as we sing songs of praise, as we look into your word, I pray that you would conform us and shape us to be more like your Son, Jesus Christ. I pray that would be the desire of our heart. Even do thank you that Bob is able to be with us this evening. I thank you for watching over him, for strengthening him. I do pray that you'd continue to help him in a special way. Thank you that you are faithful, that you are the great physician, that you are Almighty God, and we can trust you no matter what. Help us not to worry about the things of this life. Help us to trust you in all things, and we give you all the praise, all the glory. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Take your blue songbooks with me tonight and turn to number 479. As you turn to Onward Christian Soldiers, 479, why don't you stand together with me? Sing out in praise to our Lord Jesus Christ.
Forward into battle, see his back.
have a chair. As you do so, turn to number 482. Just the next page. Be careful where you sit. 482. Am I a soldier of the cross? Following up from the last one. Sing with me. Am I a soldier of the cross, a follower of the Lamb? And shall I fear to own his cause, or blush to speak his name? Am I be carried to the skies on fiery beds of ease, while others fought to win the prize and sent to bloody seas? Are there no foes for me to face? Must I not stem the flood? Is this my world a friend to grace, to help me on to God? Sure, I must fight if I would reign. Increase my courage, Lord. I'll bear the toil, endure the pain, supported by thy word.
That's wonderful imagery in that song of the toils and the trials that we must go through as soldiers of the cross. And even though it's metaphorical and it's imagery, it can be applied. Think of those things in your life that are difficult. Perhaps it is a trial of circumstances that you're going through, an illness. Perhaps the greatest trials for many of us are trials of living the Christian life. Realize that, like it says in verse 2, must I be carried to the skies on flowery beds of ease? American Christianity today is the first line of verse 2. Must I be carried to the skies on flowery beds of ease? But no, the rest of the verse says, while others fought to win the prize and sailed through bloody seas, verse 3, are there no foes for me to face? Must I not stem the flood? Is this vile world a friend to grace? The answer is no, to help me unto God. Verse 4 then, as we just sang, sure I must fight if I would reign. Increase my courage, Lord. I'll bear the toil, endure the pain, supported by thy word. Our scripture reading tonight is from Isaiah 52. Turn with me, if you would, to Isaiah 52. I have my Bible to 42, so I probably need to flip a couple pages. Isaiah 52, and we're going to read just verse 7. Tonight's message is entitled, What Kind of Feet Do You Have? I don't know exactly what Pastor Kramer is cooking, but this verse, Isaiah 52:7, illustrates and is actually what the next song is based upon. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news. So let's take your blue songbooks again, turn to number 229. Keep in mind how beautiful are the feet of them who bring good news. 229.
Announcing peace. Amen. Our God does reign. Tonight we're going to do something a little different. We're going to turn to number 451. And, well, first of all, actually, I think we decided we really like this one. And it would be a good one to learn. So I'm going to sing the first verse. And then you're going to sing the first verse with me, just so you can get it in your heads a little bit. But then we're going to read the rest of the text, because we really want to read this text of this hymn and think about it as we go through tonight. So, O Master, let me walk with Thee. 451. Verse 1. Song before. We have one. That's what I thought. Alright. You think you can sing the rest of the stanzas?
No.
It's not too difficult. Alright, let's go on to verse 2 then. A great prayer to sing. Very good. I think you should open it up for some testimonies. How has God blessed you this week? How has He worked in your life? You know, if you want to give your salvation testimony, that would be excellent. I know I don't know all of you as well as I should, or have gotten been able to, and I would love to hear some salvation testimonies, as I'm sure others would as well. So, what do you have? Were any of you saved?
Well, the Lord God has been awfully good to me. I just can't complain about anything. He furnishes me with enough money.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Pay all my bills. Mm-hmm. And even give some to the church. God is very good. Very good.
Amen. I can say amen to that as well. I trust that many of you can as well. Anybody else? Ron.
Well, Friday night, myself and there's four others that was in a car. There's a deer that was on Highway 163 over by Otway, Iowa, in the middle of nowhere. And luckily, two of us saw it, and the driver saw it too, so she slowed way down, because that deer, it was there first, and it wasn't about to move. And eventually, it was a doe, but it was a full-grown one, and it wasn't scared of the tractor, because apparently it's used to it. She took her time getting off the road.
But you kept your car intact.
Right.
And your bodies.
Right.
Which is always a blessing. And usually when there's one, there's usually 5 dozen other ones
right.
ready to jump out in front of you too.
Yeah, she's by herself.
That's a blessing. Anybody else?
Steve?
Yes, Verba.
I had two different people on my mind a lot this past week. And so it was like, I need to pray for these two families. And this morning, both of them were in church. One was the young couple with the 5 children. We need to pray about that situation because they're going to go to court soon and they want to give the children back to the abusive mother and father. So we don't know about that. And the other, of course, was Albert. And he said to me, I said, well, you know, I really missed you. And he said, well, I've been bad. And I said, well, you came to the right place to get that fixed. And he just fell. But when God really moves on you to pray for so-and-so, you better pray.
Amen. That's definitely true.
Something's going on that you know nothing about.
Mm-hmm.
And God will honor you just for being faithful.
Mm-hmm. Amen. It's true. Prayer isn't just for those being prayed for. It's for us as well. For the prayees. Prayers and praise.
There we go. By the way, that last song is in a different key in my book than what she was.
Oh.
Oh, what you do.
Well, I lowered it. I mean, I'm sorry, Ruba, I didn't mean to tell you that.
That's not going to work.
No, I played 320 because it was in a lower key.
It's okay.
All right. Let's. Anybody else? They want to cut you off? Bob.
I was thinking of this song this week, entitled "No One Ever Cared for Me Like Jesus." I thought I would love to tell you what I think of Jesus, since I found in Him a friend so strong and true. I would love to tell you how He changed my life completely. He did something that no other friend could do. And I thought, man, salvation. A new birth, indwelling Holy Spirit, of how He changes our lives and keeps working with us through time, and all of His wonderful promises.
Amen.
So, He changed our lives. He changes our lives. He wants us to be changed, to be a little more like Him.
Amen.
As we grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord.
It's a transformation, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's radical. It's not just going from wearing a t-shirt to wearing a suit and tie. In fact, it has nothing to do with that, right, Bob? It has everything to do with
religion. Heart. That can't do that.
No, it's who you are. You can look at people, and you by there. I mean, there are happy people and there are sad people, but then there are also people who you can tell are missing something, and people who you can see have the indwelling Holy Spirit that Bob was talking about in them, and the joy that Christ brings, no matter what the trial, or the pain, or the suffering. Eva can attest to that too. I love Eva. Every time she wheels in here, it's a testimony to that. Alright, let's turn to number 470. Why don't we stand up as we sing Footsteps of Jesus before Pastor Kramer comes tonight. Sing with me, 470.
Footprints of Jesus.
mentioned Siloam's fountain, if I remember properly, is where Jesus healed a lame man. So it was speaking, seeking, or called out by King's Mountain, seeking the sheep, or along by Siloam's fountains, helping the weak. So, I mean, basically it's saying, whether you're soul winning or ministering to those in need, that's following the footprints of Jesus. And if I'm incorrect, you can look it up. It's John 9, 1 through 11. Just to declare, so you know what you're singing. It's not vulgar or anything like that. Let's sing verse 3.
If they leave through the temple, holy preaching the word, or in homes of the poor and lonely serving the Lord, footprints of Jesus that make the pathway glow, we will follow the steps of Jesus
for participating tonight. Go ahead and have a seat.
Amen. Thank you, Priscilla and Verva. Thank you, Stephen. And thank all of you. What a blessing it is to worship the Lord together and to raise our voices up and to praise the Lord. What a great thing that is. And what a privilege. Heavenly Father, we are truly blessed to know Jesus Christ as our Savior, to have a personal relationship with you. Help us never to take that for granted. Help us to enjoy you. Help us to enjoy your fellowship. Help us to enjoy the fellowship of the saints. And help us to study and to love your word. And help us to apply it to our lives, to live it. And even as we look at our feet, I pray that we would please you and glorify you with our feet. And we just thank you for who you are. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So feet, we have two of them, right? We have two of them. Each person has two feet. We look at them every day. We put on our socks, we put on our shoes every day, or whatever the case may be. How much do you like your feet this evening? Do you like your feet? Are you grateful for your feet? That's right. If we didn't have any feet, we couldn't walk. That's right. How happy are you with your feet? Are you happy with the size of your feet, with how big they are, or how small they are? Are you happy with what they look like? Are you happy with how they smell? There we go. Now, of course, all of us enter this world with cute little feet, right? It's neat to look at a little baby's feet, the hands and the feet, to see those little toes and to see those little fingers, the little toenails and the little fingernails. It's just neat. It seems as if they come into this world perfect, you know, as far as their bodies are concerned. But we realize, of course, everyone's affected by the sin curse, but you look at that little baby, and it just seems as if their bodies are so perfect, so fragile, so precious. But then, we grow up, right? We grow up, and as we grow older, all of our body parts grow up. They get bigger. And usually our feet grow in proportion to how tall we are. So I'm a little bit taller here. I'm not really big feet, but bigger feet. If you're a little bit shorter, then you probably have shorter feet. You can tell quite a bit about a person by looking at his or her feet. Now, let me see. If you do a lot of walking in bare feet, any of you when you were younger walking in your bare feet, you probably got quite a few calluses on the bottom of your feet to where, you know, you could walk on basically anything and not feel it. You can tell quite a bit by looking at somebody's feet. If a person has white feet, that probably means what? They wear socks all the time and shoes. If they have tan feet, that means that they're out on the beach or they wear sandals or whatever the case may be. You can tell a lot about a person by looking at their feet. Sometimes you can smell people's feet. But more often, I suppose, it's probably the shoes that are the culprit instead of the feet themselves. But it's both, probably. Our feet can be ticklish. Anybody have ticklish feet?
Yes.
Yeah, they can be very ticklish. Our feet can hurt and ache, and I know some of you gave testimony of that just a few minutes ago. Our feet hurt and they ache, especially whenever you get a little bit older. Some people have high arches. I personally have a high arch. Some people have no arch virtually. Some people paint their toenails. Some people wear these little toe rings that they put on their toes. Some people have their toenails removed. Some people have webbed feet. There's all different types of things. But how are your feet doing tonight? I hope that they are feeling, I hope that they're smelling just fine tonight. Now, we usually don't think about our feet all that often unless they're really hurting us. But our feet are very important. We use our feet to do many different things. We use them, of course, as Norma pointed out, to walk, to get around. For most of us, anyway. We use our feet whenever we drive. We can do good things with our feet, or we can do bad things with our feet. We have that option. The foot is a vital part of the body, absolutely essential. And it can teach us, and it can remind us of many things. And the Bible tells us quite a bit about feet. And, you know, quite a few of the references to feet don't really have too much bearing on us. You know, they may just be relating a historical narrative or whatever the case may be. But there are some passages that especially teach us important things about our spiritual lives. They teach important spiritual truths. So we're going to look this evening at several things relating to the feet. We're going to learn about God this evening. We're going to learn about mankind. We're going to learn about believers, born-again believers, about the church as well. First of all, we're going to center in on mankind. Now, as I mentioned before, most people are born with 2 feet, unless there's some type of a birth defect. You're born with 2 feet. And most people, after a certain amount of time, learn how to walk with their feet. But how a person uses their feet, that varies from person to person, doesn't it? Now, as sinners, and we're all born into this world as sinners, we have a natural tendency to do what with our feet? To go our own way, to walk down the path of a sinful and a wicked person. Because that's what we are. We're sinful and we're wicked people on our own. And we have the tendency, we have that natural inclination to go down the wrong path with our feet. We want to get into trouble. We want to do bad things with our feet. You can turn with me to Isaiah 59. We'll be looking at several different passages tonight. But in Isaiah chapter 59, verses 6 through 8, we find Isaiah, and he is describing the terrible state that the nation of Israel is in. Isaiah chapter 59, verses 6 through 8. And here it says concerning the Israelites, their webs will not become garments, nor will they cover themselves with their works. Their works are works of iniquity, and the acts of violence is in their hands. Verse 7, their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity. Wasting and destruction are in their paths. So we find that their feet are used for wicked purposes. They don't just walk toward evil. What do? Their feet run toward evil. They're putting their effort and their exertion toward doing evil with their feet. And we find, if we would continue to read and through the book of Isaiah, we find that Israel will be judged for their wickedness. They would be taken captive by the wicked nation of Assyria. They would be judged by God for their wickedness, for their running to evil with their feet. But even as we read through Isaiah 59, Isaiah isn't just all bad news. It's not all condemnation. There is much hope given in the book of Isaiah. And as we would continue reading on through Isaiah 59, we find that God isn't a God who just judges. He isn't a God who solely condemns. He gives a way of escape, a way to make things right with God. And later on, as we read in this passage, Isaiah tells us that God will provide a Redeemer. And that Redeemer is none other than Jesus Christ. So we want to keep that in mind as we read about these things as far as what we do with our feet that are evil. But all throughout Scriptures, all throughout the Scripture, all throughout the Bible, it's made clear that God is a righteous God. He is holy. He is just. And God in His holiness cannot stomach wickedness. He hates wickedness. He hates sin with a burning passion. And anyone who would be wise must turn their feet from evil. They must turn their feet instead to righteousness. In Proverbs chapter 1, Proverbs chapter 1, and in verse 10 we read, "My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent." And then we go down to verses 15 and 16 in Proverbs chapter 1. And it says, "My son, do not walk in the way with them. Keep your foot from their path, for their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed blood." That's where man is at right now. Lost man. They use their feet to run toward evil. They give it their all to do evil. They make haste to shed blood. We come to the book of Romans, and in Romans chapter 3, Paul tells us concerning the universal condition of lost mankind. Everyone apart from Christ is right here in Romans chapter 3. And we could read the passage, it's a fairly lengthy passage, but let's just focus in on verses 10 and 11. "There is none righteous, no, not one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks after God." And then come down to verse 15 of Romans chapter 3, describing their feet. "Their feet are swift to shed blood." Now God doesn't look upon such feet that run and are swift to shed blood and to do evil. God doesn't take such feet lightly. It's not as if God just overlooks such feet. Feet such as these that run to evil, they're named specifically in the book of Proverbs as one of the six things that God hates, one of the seven that are an abomination to the Lord. Proverbs chapter 6, verses 16 through 19. "These six things the Lord hates, yes, seven are an abomination to Him. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that are swift in running to evil, a false witness who speaks lies, and one who sows discord among brethren." So it's recognized. God hates feet that run to evil. The psalmist recognized this fact. The psalmist knew that God is holy. He knew that God doesn't want us to use our feet for evil. And every child of God should echo the words of the psalmist when he says in Psalm 119, 101, "I have restrained my feet from evil, from every evil way, that I may keep your word." That's where you and I should be at this evening. "I have restrained my feet from every evil way, that I may keep your word." Now there are some believers, and really if we're honest with ourselves, as believers, do we keep our feet from every evil way, or are we just kind of discerning as far as which ways we want to choose? Most of the time we want to choose, you know, good ways, but once in a while we choose, well, my feet really want to go down this evil way, and we go down that way. And afterwards we regret it. You know, but oftentimes we're choosy as far as which path we go down. But we should say with all of our heart, "I have restrained my feet from evil way." That should be our purpose, our wholehearted purpose, that I may keep your word. It's exactly because our God is holy that He hates feet that are swift and running to evil. It is because God is holy that God has on occasion, as we shift to another sphere here with our feet, it is because God is holy that He asks on occasion specific men to do something with their feet, to uncover them, because the ground on which they are standing is holy ground. Do you remember Moses and the burning bush? What does the Lord instruct Moses to do? "Take off your shoes. You're standing on holy ground." He says in Exodus chapter 3, verse 5, "Do not draw near to this place. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground." And then some years afterwards, do you remember Joshua? And Joshua meets someone. He meets the commander of the Lord's army. And the commander of the Lord's army, which I believe is the pre-incarnate Son of God, what does he tell Joshua? "Take your sandal off your foot, for the place where you stand is holy." And Joshua did so. Our God is holy. We can't even comprehend, I don't think, with our finite brains, we can't comprehend how holy our God is. But our God is 100% holy. He is absolutely holy. He hates sin with a perfect hatred. But our God is holy. He is totally set apart. And we, as believers, need to recognize that fact, that our God is holy, and we must respond accordingly to that fact. We must respect our God. We must revere God because He is holy. We must bow down before Him in humility. We must bow down before Him in worship. But on our own, we recognize on our own, there's no way, possibly, that we can stand before that holy God. We are wretched sinners, as we saw before in Romans chapter 3. We're wretched sinners. We have no right to stand in the presence of holy God. But yet, God has made a way. Praise the Lord, God has made a way for us. And that way is through His Son, Jesus Christ. And we know the gospel. We know the good news. Jesus Christ came to this world. He was born in Bethlehem. He lived a perfect life. He died on the cross of Calvary. He was crucified on that cross. And what happened when He was on that cross? His hands and His feet were pierced. He rose again that third day. And afterwards, He was seen by many, by multitudes of people. You remember after the crucifixion, the disciples were gathered together. And then Jesus Christ, the resurrected Lord, appears in their midst. It was Jesus Christ. And what does He say to them? "Behold My hands and My feet. That it is I Myself. Handle Me and see. For a spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see that I have." So His hands, His feet were pierced for me and for you. And I don't think any of us can understand, none of us can relate to Christ whenever those soldiers, those Roman soldiers, pierced His hands and His feet for us, for our salvation. And yes, Jesus Christ, He died, He was buried, He rose again that third day. And He rose again with a perfect body, a resurrected body. But yet, Jesus Christ kept the scars in His hands and His feet. And when He appeared to the disciples, that was a testimony to them that this truly was the risen Christ. And they could touch Him. And even as Christ told to Thomas, "You can put your finger in the print of the nails." That's real. That is a testimony. A testimony that Christ will keep, I believe, forever. Of the crucifixion, of the sacrifice that He made for me and for you. Yes, Jesus provided that sacrifice for us. But during Jesus' life, what did Jesus do? He taught. He was a perfect example. And one of the important lessons that Jesus taught the disciples, it involved what? The washing of the disciples' feet. And I'm sure you're familiar with the passage, but turn there with me to John chapter 13. This is one of the most important lessons that Jesus taught the disciples. In John chapter 13. And this is a very pointed object lesson that Jesus was showing the disciples. We read in John chapter 13, we're going to look at verses 1 through 17, and we're not going to look at the passage in detail, but it's a very important lesson. "Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that His hour had come, that He should depart from this world to the Father, having loved His own who were in the world, He loved them to the end. And supper being ended, the devil having already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray Him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into His hands, and that He had come from God and was going to God, rose from supper and laid aside His garments. He took a towel and girded Himself. After that, He poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel in which He was girded. Then He came to Simon Peter, and Peter said to Him, 'Lord, are You washing My feet?' Jesus answered and said to him, "What I am doing you do not understand now, but you will know after this." Peter said to him, "You shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered him, "If I do not wash you, you have no part with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Jesus said to him, "He who is bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not all of you." For he knew who would betray him. Therefore he said, "You are not all clean." So when he had washed their feet, taken his garments, and sat down again, he said to them, "Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you say, 'Well, for so I am.' If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, that you should do as I have done to you. Most assuredly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who is sent greater than he who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them." Now, oftentimes we've looked at this passage, and it's oftentimes taught concerning the importance of serving others. And that is a very important lesson. Jesus, the Lord of all creation, Jesus humbled himself. He took upon himself the form of a servant, the form of a man. He was born in Bethlehem. He lived a low-key existence for much of his life. And as he entered his public ministry, he began to gain recognition. And he called 12 disciples, and 11 of whom were true followers of Jesus. But toward the end of his life, as we read here in John 13, the disciples were gathered for the Last Supper. And the disciples' master, Jesus Christ, their Lord, did something that totally caught them off guard. You see, he went about washing their feet, something that was reserved for a lowly servant, something that would not be expected from their revered master and teacher, from their Lord. And Jesus told his disciples, even as we read in Luke chapter 22, Jesus told them, as far as the importance of serving, "He who is greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and he who governs as he who serves. For who is greater, he who sits at the table or he who serves? Is it not he who sits at the table? Yet I am among you as the one who serves." Jesus chose to be a servant. That's how he lived his life here on this earth. And the disciples, as you remember from the Gospels, the disciples had a true problem with serving others. They wanted to be number one. They wanted to be the one who was in control, the one that everyone followed. The disciples had a real problem with humility and service, and Jesus here was giving them a pointed object lesson. A pointed object lesson for them to learn from. But that is not all that Jesus taught them in this passage. That's not all that he taught them in this object lesson. Jesus was picturing for them, I believe, the wonderful picture of salvation. The wonderful picture of salvation and forgiveness that only comes through him. Whenever Jesus came to Peter, what did Peter respond? "You will never wash my feet." Peter says, "No, Lord, don't do this to me." And how did Jesus respond? "If I do not wash you, you have no part with me." And then what does Peter do? He goes to the other extreme. And he says, "Lord, don't just wash my feet. Give me a whole bath. Wash my hands and my head also." And how does Jesus respond? "He who is bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not all of you." And Jesus was saying of the disciples, "You're clean, you've had your bath, spiritually speaking, but not all of you are clean." And he was referring to Judas, the betrayer, the one who was an imposter, who had never accepted Jesus Christ as his Savior. Jesus Christ here was showing the disciples the necessity of forgiveness. Jesus, during his time on the earth, had many times forgiven the sins of his followers, the sins of his disciples. They already had their bath, they were saved, but they needed their feet to be washed, their sins to be forgiven. They needed those sins forgiven so that they could have unhindered fellowship with God. Every believer knows that as we walk in this world, our feet are going to get dirtied. Because as we walk in this world, we aren't going to live a sinless life. We're going to fall down, we're going to sin. We're going to get our feet dirty, and our feet need to be washed. And we can have our feet washed any time whenever we confess our sins to the Lord. He has promised if you confess your sins, the Lord will be faithful and just to forgive us our sins, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God is faithful. He will cleanse us. And just as God has promised to forgive us whenever we confess our sins to Him, we as brothers and sisters in Christ, we should forgive one another. Because we live among one another. And as brothers and sisters, you realize in a family, there's a lot of sin that goes on among siblings. There's a lot of hurt feelings, a lot of actions that should not have been done. But brothers and sisters, forgive each other. As brothers and sisters in Christ, we must forgive each other. We must wash one another's feet. And I don't believe Jesus here is giving us an ordinance as a church. There's nothing wrong with physically washing feet as a picture of the forgiveness of sin and as a picture of servitude. But Jesus here is showing a very pointed object lesson. We need to be forgiving one another. We need to be serving one another. It's absolutely essential. Paul tells us in Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 and 13, "Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do." Christ has forgiven us so much.
Amen.
It shouldn't be hard for us, in light of the debt that has been forgiven us by Christ. It shouldn't be anything for us to forgive one another. It shouldn't be anything at all. It is our obligation, our duty to forgive one another, and our privilege. Oh, that we just listen to what Jesus has to tell us. Oh, that we let Jesus' instructions really penetrate our heart. Remember Mary. What did Mary do? She sat down at the feet of Jesus. We have Mary and Martha. They made different choices, didn't they? Martha decided to prepare a great meal. But Mary decided to sit down at the feet of Jesus, to listen to Him and the words that He had to speak. Mary wanted to listen and learn from Jesus. Jesus commended her, saying that she has chosen the good part, which will not be taken away from her. We should have the attitude of Mary, of sitting down at Christ's feet. And true, we are not physically able to sit down at the feet of Jesus. Not today. One day we will. One day we'll be able to speak face to face with Jesus. But today we cannot do that. We are still able to grow in the knowledge of our Savior Jesus Christ. We are privileged. We are privileged to have the Word of God. We can read, even as we've been going through the book of John, we're able to read the words of Christ. We're able to learn from His words and to live the life that Christ would have us to live. We are privileged to have churches like Lordville Baptist Church. We can be instructed by godly men how to live the Christian life. Are we taking advantage of the church that God has instituted for us? Are we learning and growing? Are we building one another up as members of the body? Each member of the body of Christ should use their gifts to the fullest. As born-again believers, we have been given at least one gift, probably many more gifts, to use in the body of Christ. Are we using those gifts? And are we appreciating the gifts of other believers? 1 Corinthians chapter 12, do you remember the imagery that Paul used to describe the body of Christ? He tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, you can turn there with me. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and we read in verses 14 through 22, 1 Corinthians 12, verses 14 through 22, and Paul here is describing the body of Christ, the church universal. And here Paul tells us, "For in fact the body is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, 'Because I am not a hand, I am not of the body,' is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, 'Because I am not an eye, I am not of the body,' is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as He pleased. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now indeed there are many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. No, much rather, those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. We learn from this that all the members of the body of Christ, each person has an important part to play. We must all serve. We must all work within the body of Christ as God has intended us to work and to serve. We look at the human body. We look at the human body. Can the human body function as it should with only 20% of its members working? And obviously the answer is no. In order for the human body to work properly, all the body parts have to work together. All the body parts have a function. The church, likewise, cannot function properly at 20%. Every member has to work and fulfill its function for it to work optimally, for it to work the way it should. Regardless of what type of a body part you are, whether a hand or a foot, or whatever the case may be, an eye or an ear, all of us are called to do certain things. Regardless of what body part you are, regardless of what gifts God has called you, or what gifts God has given to you, we all are called to do certain things. We all, as members of the body of Christ, have the wonderful privilege of sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, there are certain ones that are gifted with the gift of evangelism. There are certain ones that are able, in a special way, to proclaim the gospel. But all of us, if you are a born-again believer, all of us have the privilege and the responsibility to share the gospel with the lost. We can use our feet to carry us to our neighbor's yard. We can use our feet to jump on the bus and go to downtown Des Moines. We can use our feet to go wherever else the Lord may call us to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. We read in Romans chapter 10, and I'm sure you're familiar with this passage as well, but Romans chapter 10 and verse 13. And it says here, for whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And isn't that a wonderful promise? Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And then we look at verse 14. How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. What a blessing it is. What a privilege we have to use our feet, those feet that God has given us, to use our feet in the wonderful way of sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. May God give us the strength and the ability and the motivation to use our two feet, or however we get around, to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. To serve Him every day, every hour, and every minute. That should be our motivation. So let us pray this evening, Lord, help me to keep my feet from evil. Help me to keep my feet from evil. Lord, help me to humbly bow before You. Help me to worship You as the holy God that You are with uncovered feet. Lord, help me to wash one another's feet. To wash others' feet. Help me to humbly serve and to forgive one another. Lord, help me to sit at Your feet. Help me to learn from You. Help me to be like You are. Lord, help me to serve in Your church, whether I am a foot or a hand or an eye or an ear, whatever the case may be. Help me to serve and use my gifts. Lord, help me to use my feet to share the gospel, to serve and to work and to glorify Your name. Lord, help me to use my feet to Your honor and praise. Heavenly Father, we do thank You for enabling us to serve You. And I pray that we'd make godly decisions to use our feet, to use our bodies in a way that pleases You. Help us to turn from the evil path. Help us to say, even with the psalmist, that I will go down the right path and forsake the way of evil so that I may keep Your word. So I pray that You'd enable us to use our feet to Your honor and Your glory, to use, pray, I pray, Lord, that You'd use the totality of our being to magnify your name. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's close tonight with number 528. Stand with me. As you close, no one ever cared for me like Jesus. Bob mentioned this one earlier. That would be fitting to close. Sing with me.
I would love to tell you what I think of Jesus, since I found in Him a friend so strong and true. I would tell you how He changed my life completely. He did something no other friend could do. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend so kind as He. No one else could take the sin and darkness from me. Oh, how much He cares for me.
Isn't it wonderful that we can follow in the footsteps of Jesus? The Lord has cared for us in such a great way. Jesus Christ died for us, such an incredible sacrifice. And we are privileged to partake of the Lord's sufferings, to partake in serving the Lord and suffering for His name. Let us endeavor this evening to serve the Lord with all of our hearts, to use our feet, to use our bodies to glorify His name, to serve Him. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. He took that sin and that darkness from us. He's given to us eternal life. Let us serve Him forever.
While we sing both stanzas 2 and 3.
All my life was full of sin when Jesus found me. All my heart was full of misery and woe. Jesus placed His strong and loving arms around me, and He led me in the way I ought to go. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend so kind as He. No one else could take the sin and darkness from me.
Thank You so much once again for Your word, Father, how it provides us in every way and equips us for everything we need. Lord, that it gives us encouragement when we are depressed, and it gives us songs of praise when we are joyful. Father, we thank You most of all that it gives us knowledge of Your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, that it gives us knowledge of the way we should walk, not just of the way that we ought to walk, not just of the way that we could walk, but Lord, demonstrates to us how we can please You by going and taking every step of faith, and even every physical step, to Your honor, glory, and praise. I pray, Lord, that we would seek to do that in the honor of Your Son, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray tonight. Amen.